Hello, lovely listener. Wondering what this is? Surely by now you know. This is, of course, the red-handed monthly Patreon roundup. So it is a summary of all of the best bits, all of the fun stuff that we've been doing over on Patreon for our patrons. So today you are going to wrap your ears around Hannah and I talking about Boris Johnson, our current Prime Minister, if he still is by the time you're listening to this, and Carrygate. Yes, how he tried to give his mistress a £100,000 taxpaying job so that he could carry on his love affair. We'll also talk about Preeti Patel and refugees, the European Court of Human Rights. Then you will get a 10-minute snippet of our exclusive Patreon bonus episode on Martin McNeill, the Mormon doctor, lawyer, bishop, etc., who tried to kill his wife through a facelift. Then we'll round it all off with Prince Andrew not being able to join the weird garter celebrations here because he is, of course, a sweaty nonce. And finally, we'll be rounding things off with a summary of the platitudes. And if you don't know what that is, well, listen up. Number 10 pressured The Times, the newspaper The Times, to drop a story about Boris Johnson and his wife, Carrie. Would you like to know what the story was? It is hilariously just so infuriating. So apparently, when Boris Johnson was having an affair with Carrie, because he was married to somebody else and he had an affair with Carrie, I don't know who she was. It was someone who worked in Parliament and that's how they met or
she
something.
She was an aide, I think.
Yeah, like an aide or something. So he decided while he was having this affair with this aide, Carrie, to push her forward for a £100,000 job at the Foreign Office when she was his mistress. And giving her like a secret, like
dick,
secret dick, secret dick and secret, what's the word? Like coaching, prepping her, greasing the greasy wheels so that his mistress, got the job basically. And really like going full hog on this. And it came out, it was leaked to the newspapers, to the Times. And, this week, Number 10 has admitted that they did call the Times and apply some serious pressure in order to stop them publishing that story. But it obviously got out anyway and it was all over Twitter and The Independent reported on it. Hashtag Carrygate.
Ah, so they got tuckered.
Yes, they did. They did. But a £100,000 job at the Foreign Office for Carrie Simmons, who was just an aide that he was fucking. That is £100,000 worth of taxpayers' money that he was just going to put his mistress in a position where he could keep fucking her, basically. And be like, do you remember when I got you that great job? Now, X, Y, Z. Not to get too filthy.
Well, speaking of government money, do you know how much Priti Patel has paid Rwanda?
Oh, quite a lot, I would assume.
Yes, it's quite a lot.
B's? M's?
M's.
100 million.
120.
All right.
So if you are not British, you will not know that on the anniversary of the Grenfell fire, Priti Patel tried to send, the plan was to send a plane full of refugees, people who have done legally nothing wrong. It was 130 of them originally. Then it was down to 7, one of which was a victim of torture in Iraq. And she wanted to send them to Rwanda for processing. Her defense is that Australia have been doing this for years to stop people arriving on boats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So she paid £120 million to Rwanda with the promise that Rwanda would hold these refugees, not criminals, refugees, for as long as she fucking wanted that to happen. The European Court of Human Rights grounded the plane. They were like, you cannot do that. I don't care if you're Priti Patel or not. So she is now pushing for us to leave the European Court of Human Rights, which will essentially mean she can do whatever she wants.
Mm-hmm. No, I did see this. And yes, I obviously am not like pro the Rwanda flighting, whatever we want to call it. My issue with the European Human Court of Rights is that, and I'm not speaking specifically about this incident, I'm speaking generally, is that it is there to kind of keep democracy from running
rampant. Like, it was put in place after the Second World War, after the Nazis, because they were like, well, the people there voted for Hitler and then look at what he did. Mm-hmm. There should be checks and balances externally on a country's democracy. So just to play devil's advocate, my concern with the European Human Court of Rights and the things they're doing is this, these policies, I guess, can be voted in by people because they're like, I'm going to vote for mm-hmm. the Tories, and then the Tories are going to put forward this idea, and then it's debated in the House of Commons, it's passed into law, this kind of thing happens. And I guess, like, again, devil's advocate question is, how far should an external court be allowed to dictate the democratic decisions that are made within a country about certain policies that they may or may not want to run, is my question.
I think my opinion on that is that cultural relativism only takes you so far.
I
think there does need to be a external body that is like, these things we stipulate are over the line. Mm-hmm. I do think that needs to exist. And like, obviously, there are things that don't exist within those policies. For me, it's FGM. I think that is over the line. I don't think that has a cultural difference. I think that should be absolutely 100% illegal everywhere. And then when it comes to stuff like this, you just shouldn't be able to do. So it's never going to be an uncontentious issue to have a set of rules that everyone has to follow when everyone is a democratic country. Like, that is never going to be an uncontentious thing. I just think it's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, no, and it's just a debate. I don't know where I land on it, mm-hmm. Because I think that protecting like our democratic right to vote for things in terms of how we want to govern our policies, how we want to govern our borders, how we want to govern XYZ within our nation. And again, I'm not specifically talking about Rwanda. This is just like an area mm-hmm. in which this has come up. You know, I think there are obviously major issues with what Priti Patel is advocating for. I'm obviously no fan of hers. And also, I don't know that it solves the problem of, mass refugees coming to this country or anything like that, if that's what you're saying the issue is, which I think no. But again, it comes back to, I don't feel like any political party is putting forward mm-hmm. a good idea. Again, Labour on this, the only thing they've really said is it's unworkable. And I'm like, well, what's the alternative? And I'm not saying, well, mm-hmm. we should do this because there isn't. I'm like, I would love to see somebody coming forward with a viable, workable alternative. When that's not happening, I guess my only thing is, how do we navigate this system in which an unelected external body dictates that to us? That's my only sort of looking at both sides of it question mark about the European Court of Human Rights. But I also take your point that should there be a check on it from outside? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole thing with the EU. Also, people don't like being policed from outside.
Yes.
And they don't feel like they... that nobody likes feeling like they don't have a say. Mm-hmm. David Mitchell said something when the Brexit vote was happening, and he was like, I don't think that the general public should be allowed to vote because we don't fucking know what we're talking about. Like, and I'm not saying I advocate for this, I thought it was just an interesting point. He was like, why can't the politicians and the economists vote on this? Because the general public largely don't know, they don't know. Mm. And I think that, like,
I don't love that argument, and I like David Mitchell. I didn't hear that. I'm surprised to hear him say something like that. That makes me feel a bit sad because mm-hmm. I think that politicians and economists, I can specifically speak for them, they fall into various camps where they have different ideologies. Mm-hmm. So there's no proof for the things that they say will or won't make a difference. For example, this is why, you know, one of the famous quotes about economists is the economy needs economists like the weather needs weathermen. Mm. Like, all they can do is sit around and like pontificate. But we all know the weather does whatever the fuck it wants, and you can't really tell down to an hour what the weather's going to be like. And I think that makes me sad because then it's run by people who are just as ideologically motivated as a person who might vote for that. With, yes, a bit more information, but I think politics...
I think when it comes to Brexit, a lot more information.
Yeah, but I think it's like when we get annoyed when people say, why are you talking about politics? I think if we're going to live in an equal, mm-hmm. in a democracy, then I think people should have the vote and the say on things like this. Yeah. I think people were misled about certain things, but I think that, I feel like, obviously, I voted to remain, Mm-hmm. But if now there was an option to be like, let's rejoin European Union or let's stay as we are, I would stay as we are mm-hmm. and just be like, let's focus on what we need to get done now for the sake of our country and what we need to do. Love Europe. I don't know. I have some misgivings now because there was a lot of things that were undemocratic about it. Things like Ursula von der Leyen, for example, who's like the top person at the EU. She's not elected by us. She's elected by other people, but she can make decisions that would have affected us if we'd stayed in the European mm-hmm. Union. Again, I'm not a Brexiteer. I voted to remain. But I think that I wouldn't want to be in a situation where economists and politicians make those decisions. I felt like we should have the vote and mm-hmm. whatever happens, we should have had a better educated population and we should have had a better informed population. And I know that can sound a bit like rosy eyed about the whole thing, mm-hmm. but no, I wouldn't have wanted a situation where people shouldn't have the vote on certain and specific things, even like Scottish independence. Again, it's a very contentious issue, but if they have a referendum and that's what people vote for, as much as I wouldn't want Scotland.
On the 11th of April, 2007. Six.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp. The 11th to the 17th of May is Mental Health Awareness Week. And here's a pretty wild stat for you. Despite all the work to destigmatize mental health and to encourage people to be open and talk about how they're feeling, nearly 70% of Brits say that societal attitudes discourage them from seeking help. That's according to BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report, and it's a pretty sad reality. Because that means that over half of Brits are struggling to reach out to someone and have a chat about what's going on deep down. Are you one of those people? This Mental Health Awareness Week, why not check in and ask yourself if you've been feeling stuck, anxious, or overwhelmed? Mental health support isn't just about being in a crisis. It's about having someone to talk to about how you're feeling, whether it's up or down. If you want someone to talk to, why not try BetterHelp? BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you, so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences. And BetterHelp's over 10 years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/redhanded. That's betterhelp.com/redhanded. Starting a new business is notoriously difficult. Not only do you have the intricacies and admin of actually launching your money-making endeavor, but you also have all of that self-doubt and fear to contend with. What if nobody likes my product? What if I can't make it work? Well, unfortunately, I can't answer those questions. But I can recommend something to make your business journey a lot easier. Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Gymshark to Skims and brands just getting started. So start your journey with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand's style. What if people haven't heard about my brand? Don't worry, Shopify helps you find customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck? Well, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. It's time to change those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/redhanded. Go to shopify.com/redhanded. That's shopify.com/redhanded.
6-year-old Ada McNeil arrived at her home in Pleasant Grove, Utah, which I have now learned that it does snow in Utah. Okay. Sorry. Best snow in the world. Apparently that's what it says on their license plates. Quite the claim.
Wow.
Yep. So Ada's adopted father, Martin, was a practicing physician and a trained lawyer. So double Asian parent-loving careers. And he sent Ada to find her mother, whose name was Michelle. And Ada bounded up the stairs. When she entered the bathroom, she saw her mother lying lifeless in the bath. She then called for her father. And when Martin saw what had happened, he sent Ada next door to get help. Martin made a series of frantic 911 calls, almost incomprehensibly ranting down the phone and hanging up three times on the responder. When Ada returned with the neighbours, Martin and next door's Doug Daniels, they'd fucking love, what's it called? Alliteration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And Martin and Doug Daniels worked together to lift Michelle out of the tub. She was cold, pale, and unmoving, with thick mucus running down her face. Blood ran from ruptured incisions across her forehead and her eyelids. But it's not from face stabbing. It's from a facelift that she had had a few days before. Have you seen The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City?
No.
Yo. Okay. So I dip my toes in and out of all of the housewife franchises, Fair. Right? The commonly held opinion is that Beverly Hills is best. New York is second. And then after that, Atlanta can fuck off. It's Salt Lake City.
Oh.
Because the beauty standards are just so different to like anything else. I feel like, you know, obviously the New York housewives and the LA housewives look different. You can tell they're from different places. But the Utah girls, oh my God. Like, I can't even describe it. It's like, I think they even address it in the show where they're like, oh, if you're an LA 7, you're a Utah 4. Yeah. It's crazy.
That's savage.
It, like, I haven't watched it as much. My sister's watched all of it. And she is a solid
Utah
fan.
7.
She's a solid Utah 7, yeah. So if you've got time to waste.
I mean, I do. Yeah. So
I feel like the housewives, like, I don't feel like you've really engaged with the housewives franchise, but it's reasonably up your street,
this
I think.
This is the thing. I'm not at all like, oh, I just, I'm too good for that. I'm just like, you have your particular brand of shit TV, don't you? And I've just finished Maths, so I need a little detox before I jump into my next thing.
It's just, it's a culture shock. It's
well,
pretty...
it's working its way to the top of the list.
Anyway, so I'm not surprised that Michelle, being a Salt Lake City wife, had a facelift. They all be getting work. So the men worked together. That's Martin and his neighbor, Doug. They worked together to perform CPR, with Doug doing the compressions on Michelle's chest and Martin blowing into her mouth. Doug knew CPR, but he deferred to his physician neighbor for instruction. But as Doug worked to bring Michelle back to life, he couldn't help but notice that her chest wasn't rising or falling. And while there was mucus all over Michelle's face, none had transferred onto Martin's.
Uh-oh. Sounds like he's not doing what he's meant to be doing as part of the CPR tandem act.
Yeah. Sounds like he's just putting his face close enough.
Mm.
So Doug wondered, how could a physician be failing to perform such a basic life-saving procedure on his dying wife? Surely he would have known that those moments are critical. What Doug didn't know was that both Michelle's plastic surgery and her death had been part of a meticulous, sinister plot and the culmination of a lifetime of lies. This is the story of Martin McNeil, the doctor, the lawyer, and former Mormon bishop, and his children's six-year fight to bring him down.
To their community, the McNeils were every bit the perfect family. The doctor, lawyer, bishop, etc., and the former beauty queen had 8 children in total. That's very good Mormoning of them. And these 8 children included 3 that they had adopted from Ukraine.
That's excellent Mormonism.
So Michelle Summers was born in 1957 and raised in Concord, California, in a devoutly religious Mormon household. And though her dad wasn't around, it was a loving family, and Michelle did really well at school. She was also homecoming queen, she did some modelling, and later even went on to win the title of Miss Concord. Her sister Linda later remembered her as, quote, a dream big sister. She was popular, she was athletic, and she was great at school. She also loved music, she played the violin. We were all very proud of her. She is very much an all-rounder, is Michelle. So after a few years of modelling, Michelle decided that she wanted to pursue her studies at, you guessed it, Brigham Young.
No, nothing good happens there.
BYU, which, if you don't know, is, of course, a private Mormon university in Utah. But before Michelle did this, she attended an event for young, unmarried LDS members in 1977, which is probably just as much fun as it sounds.
And I mean, at this point, maybe I should get down there.
Should we get you to an LDS or even an FLDS event? Who knows?
Well, I don't know, because I'm doing a lot of Mormon TikToking. And people who have left the church. So when you get married, I think when you get married, it's the first time you're allowed in the temple.
Oh, yes.
And all they do is masonry. They have to wear little like mason outfits and do like handshakes and stuff. And obviously a Mormon's never going to challenge me on that because they're not allowed to talk about it.
Easy.
Easy peasy.
If only everything we ever said was that easy. So yes, maybe we should get you to an LDS event because at this young unmarried LDS event, which was obviously a marry a Mormon mixer,
yep.
Michelle met another M. She met Martin McNeil.
Martin was a year older. He was tall, handsome, and confident with piercing blue eyes. He grew up in Camden, New Jersey, which I think is where Michelle Visage is from. And his childhood was not as rosy as Michelle's had been. His parents were both alcoholics and they fought endlessly. After his dad left, his mum turned to sex work and often had clients over to their one-bedroom apartment. And in that one-bedroom apartment, it was only a single sheet hanging from the ceiling, separating Martin and his siblings from their mum and her clients.
Uh-oh.
Needless to say, this took its toll on young Martin McNeil. And at the age of just 8, he collected all the drugs he could find in the apartment, mixed them into a bottle of booze, and gave it to his mother.
At 8 years old.
That is horrifying.
Isn't it just? Oh my God, the whole thing is just horrifying. His whole childhood is just horrifying.
And it was only when his sister returned home from work that their mother was taken to hospital. Martin was diagnosed with bipolar disorder as a teenager, and he faked his age and joined the army. In the army, his strange and rebellious traits started to manifest into more worrying behavior. He started telling commanders about the voices in his head that urged him to kill.
In the army, they're just like, don't fucking say that.
Yeah, no, don't, we all have them. We just shush. Shush.
Don't listen. Don't. Oh, now you've told me. Do you know how much paperwork I'm going to have to do? Fuck you, Martin McNeil.
And I know we're actually training you to kill people. We just don't like it when you talk about it.
No. Or when you talk about it like that's what you want to do.
So they sent him for a psychiatric evaluation where examiners diagnosed him with latent schizophrenia with other mental and psychological infirmities. So just
vague.
You've just got some stuff going on, young
man. You've got some other mental infirmities, yeah. Unspecified pick and mix of psychological issues.
God. So after just 2 years in the army, he was discharged on disability leave.
And it was then that Martin McNeil found God.
Well, you know what they say. When God closes a door, he opens a window.
Yes,
that's what my grandma.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp. The 11th to the 17th of May is Mental Health Awareness Week. And here's a pretty wild stat for you. Despite all the work to destigmatize mental health and to encourage people to be open and talk about how they're feeling, nearly 70% of Brits say that societal attitudes discourage them from seeking help. That's according to BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report, and it's a pretty sad reality, because that means that over half of Brits are struggling to reach out to someone and have a chat about what's going on deep down. Are you one of those people? This Mental Health Awareness Week, why not check in and ask yourself if you've been feeling stuck, anxious, or overwhelmed? Mental health support isn't just about being in a crisis. It's about having someone to talk to about how you're feeling, whether it's up or down. If you want someone to talk to, why not try BetterHelp? BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you, so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences. And BetterHelp's over 10 years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/redhanded. That's betterhelp, betterhelp.com/redhanded. Starting a new business is notoriously difficult. Not only do you have the intricacies and admin of actually launching your money-making endeavor, but you also have all of that self-doubt and fear to contend with. What if nobody likes my product? What if I can't make it work? Well, unfortunately, I can't answer those questions. But I can recommend something to make your business journey a lot easier. Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US. From household names like Gymshark to Skims and brands just getting started. So start your journey with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand's style. What if people haven't heard about my brand? Don't worry, Shopify helps you find customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck? Well, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. It's time to change those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/redhanded. Go to shopify.com/redhanded. That's shopify.com/redhanded.
And in this case, Independent put it this morning, I think it's a perfect headline. Is Prince Andrew the most deluded man in the world? And I was like, yes, because...
Second to Liam Payne.
Possibly. So Prince Andrew has come out and said that he wants his title reinstated, recognised and respected.
Yeah, it was supposed to be today. He was supposed to return today.
Because there is a procession at Windsor for the Order of the Garter. I tried to look up what Garter Day was. I was like, I'm so fucking bored. I don't give a shit. So apparently, it's like the Order of the Garter. It's like you get a knighthood.
Basically, Prince Andrew puts his head up the Queen's dress and pulls off her garter with his teeth.
And this year, he's not going to be allowed to do it because he's a fucking nonce. So he wanted to come to this Order of the Garter. And for 4 weeks, it's kind of been saying that that was going to be his first public appearance. Why? I don't know. Because I thought the deal was he's not going to make any more public appearances. He's not going to have a public life. And we were all going to allow the royal family to continue on the basis that that was the agreement, that the nonce just goes into the tower and is never into the basement and never seen again.
I mean, he's lucky to stay out of prison.
Exactly. Well, quite. But apparently it seemed like he was going to come out, but a last minute family decision was made to stop him. And it seems that Charles and William were like, absolutely fucking not.
That's what I read. I read that Charles was like, listen, mum, I know he's your favourite. Yeah. I know he's your favourite one, but he should probably not.
This is my day. I don't want him there. He always blows out my candles. And I feel like, bro, big bro.
Yeah, Charles has had enough.
Like, fuck you, mum. And fuck him even harder. Man.
He's looking old as shit, Charles, isn't he? He's not looking well.
He is. I mean, he's definitely... So the Queen, actually, in the last day or so, has become the second longest reigning monarch ever in history, ever.
Yeah.
Only to have been beaten by Louis XIV of France.
And so he did 72 years and 112 days. So she's got basically 3 years to go.
Oh, is that it? Because because he came to the crown when he was four, but I guess I don't know when he died. So she's got how many more
years? Basically like 2.5 years.
Oh, is she going to make that?
I think she will.
Purely, she's going to hold on.
Ow. They're just going to plug her into the mains.
Yeah.
Like she'll make it. She'll make it. And then like she'll instantly die.
And I think that's what she's waiting for. I feel like Queenie is a, I feel like Lizzie's a record breaker.
Well, this is the thing. So my grandma... is obsessed because they were born in the same year.
Okay.
So my grandma thinks that she has led this like parallel life to the Queen, right?
Sure.
She hasn't. But she talks about it a lot. Hates Meghan Markle, big royalist, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And my grandma has always said, you know, I'll keep going as long as she does. And I'm like, Muriel, your life is significantly worse than hers though.
So
like
much.
You're not the Queen.
That's so
but
much.
She thinks she is.
I get it. I guess it's just like Lizzie kind of embodies that whole like
olden timey, keep calm and carry on, British upper lip. And like, I was talking about it because I was obviously in Seville over the Jubilee weekend. And for some reason, one night, my friend and I came back to the hotel room and we turned the TV on and there was just like an hour long documentary about Queen Elizabeth and we watched it. And I don't know why. But it was actually quite interesting, I guess, because it was like a lot of footage of her as she's so young when she's crowned. I think she's like 21, something ridiculously young.
I think she was 20.
Yeah, so baby. And, you know, just like video footage of her and like Philip when they first met, when they had their kids, etc. And, you know, she's been around for a fucking long time. Mm-hmm. I think I did accidentally watch The Crown last Christmas because I was at home for 2 weeks. My parents were watching it. So like every time I was in the room, I was watching it. And at first I was like lots of protesting, but then actually I just kind of watched it and it was actually pretty good. And it's just so weird because in there you're just like watching her talk to like Churchill and stuff. And you're like, God, you're so old. Mm. And I get why when you've had one constant that's been there for such a long time, I get why people have this sort of like the positive feeling towards her. But I do think once she's gone, I don't know how it's gonna survive.
I mean, I think it will. I think it'll be like a Boris Johnson no confidence situation where he'll just keep going no matter what, like some sort of resilient rat.
Yeah.
But speaking of the platitudes, I forgot to say this when we were talking about it. A friend of mine was outside a pub on the Platinum Jubilee. I think it might have actually been on the Sunday, like the day. Mm-hmm. And he sent me this picture of a guy wearing a Falklands Memorial football shirt outside. And I was like, what the fuck is that about?
That is quite something.
What a statement.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ugh,
yeah. No, fucking hell. Not ideal.
No.
When I was in... where was I?
The Falklands.
When I was in the Falklands. When I was somewhere, I think I was either in, I was somewhere in Patagonia, right?
Mm. And
I
so not far off.
No. And there was a sign there, but it wasn't like somebody had just stuck it up. It was like a plaque, like a bronze plaque. Mm. And it was basically, I was on the bit where you're about to go to like where the last lighthouse in the world is. Mm. So you do a little boat trip out and you're like, oh, it's the last lighthouse, blah, blah, blah. And they had like a plaque there and it said that the Falklands is being illegally occupied. I mean, yeah, it was just like, but it was very interesting because it was like this solid bronze plaque like stuck into the wall. And I was like, I just hide my passport.
Yeah, right. I heard from like in most of Latin America, like being British is considered sort of better than being from
American.
Yeah, the US.
Yeah.
Apart from in Argentina.
Yes, we. I'm French now. Don't look at me. I'm not British.
Yes, definitely not British.
I am French. We hate the British.
I had such an argument when I used to work at that charity with that incredibly contrarian man.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeremy Corbyn had said something about the Falklands sharing governance, something. I mean, that's how long ago this was because Jeremy Corbyn was still relevant. So and he came into the office. He was stoic. He's like, I'm so fucked off with. And Jeremy Corbyn was his MP.
About the Falklands. And well, that's upset you for the day.
Yeah, literally. And I was like, well, I don't really, well, we probably should be sharing governance with Argentina. It's kind of theirs. And he was like, people died for the Falklands. I was like, people died for colonialism. That's not a fucking argument. People die for all sorts of things. What a ridiculous thing to say. And he used to say the same thing about the EU as well. He used to be like, people died for democracy. And I'm like, shut up.
Oh my
like,
God.
People die for loads of things. That's such a ridiculous argument to make. Anyway,
I couldn't have worked there.
I didn't for very long.
Thank fuck for that. I had very little else to say, but apart from saying that I failed to understand what the Order of the Garter was, but it doesn't really matter because apparently, this is a sentence I copied and pasted, it is a prestigious royal order of chivalry.
Mm.
And people are added to it at this ceremony that's taking place today, which is Monday, the 13th of June. And would you like to know who is going to be there since Andrew is not going to be there?
Chivalry is in the right to rape and pillage.
Something
good.
Like
just
that.
Just checking.
Yeah. So the person who is going to be there is Sir Tony Blair. And he's Sir Tony Blair because he was quietly knighted last week with very
was
little
he
fanfare.
Really?
He was.
Did you know at the Finsbury Park Theatre, there is currently Tony Blair the Rock Opera?
Oh, yes, I saw this. I really want to go watch it. Let's go. I saw it on like Time Out, like things to do in London this week. I completely forgot. I actually think I took a screenshot of it and was going to send it to you. And I was like, it's midnight, go to sleep. Yes,
we should absolutely go.
Tony Blair, the rock opera. Let's fucking go. Because we're going to Jerusalem this week.
We are going to Jerusalem on Thursday.
I have zero idea what it's about.
It's going to change your life.
Oh, I can't wait. I don't even know what.
So the first run of it was 10 years ago when I was at university and it just set the world on fire. Oh. You could not get a ticket for love nor money. I bought these tickets a year ago just because I'm on the producer's mailing list. Wow. Like I have been waiting for this for 10 years.
Musical?
Nope.
Oh.
Straight play.
Play.
And it's Mark Rylance. And I read in the paper that his brother died. So I was like, if I've waited 10 years and I have to go and see a fucking understudy, I'm going to blow my shit, but it's okay.
It's okay. He's pulled himself together.
Yeah. So no, Jerusalem, I mean, it's a class commentary, basically. Okay. Mackenzie Crook's in it also. He's in Pirates of the Caribbean. He's the one with the eye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's...
I'll be the really uncultured. I'll be like, oh, he's the one off the films.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's... I also know absolutely nothing about the plot.
Okay.
Other than it's a class commentary and that I tried to sell my body and soul for a ticket 10 years ago and couldn't do it.
Well, we are going this week and you don't need to do either of those things. Did you enjoy what you just listened to? Well, if you did and you want to get your ears on more delicious content like that every single week, then all you need to do is head on over to patreon.com/redhanded, where you can take a look at the different tiers that we offer, pick the one that suits you, and then you will get quality red-handed content delivered to your phone through your podcast player on a weekly basis. So the more you give, the more you get. Take a look, and if it takes your fancy, sign up.